everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom, give me a thumbs up. You're ready to do this thing. All right, engineering and producing our show. Mr. Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. It is Friday, October 23rd, 2015. I love this weather. Boy, if we could have this kind of weather year-round, like in the upper 70s, 80s, well, I don't know if we'd want to live here then anymore because there'd be so many people. We're live each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We live stream our show. It's on my website and KVOI.com, our media partners. Thank you to TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com. All believe in our work here and have posted a link to the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon is with Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild, and we try to bring the mayor in every couple of months for sure. Joining me in studio to question Mr. Mayor, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Our live line number, 790-2040. The mayor is waiting to hear from you if you have a question or comment. He'll do his best to answer it. Our Facebook page address, Bill Buckmaster. And now, doing the Twitter thing, slowly gaining a couple of followers here and there, kind of reactivated the account. It's at BuckmasterShow.com. Ladies first. Sarah, how are you?
I am well, and I just have to say I love it every time you say, joining me in the studio to question whoever
the
poor guest
the third
is.
Degree.
Yes, yes.
Get out the rubber hose, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and a bright light over the mayor. Well, I'm glad, Sarah, you're having a wonderful week. Mr. Mayor, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Well, you're going to be reelected.
It looks that way.
One would hope. Since you have run the overall competition.
Let's not jinx it.
Yeah, okay. unopposed, basically. What's on the top of your agenda for the next 4 years?
Well, we've got a whole lot of things that we've got to work on. We still have to put a big focus in this community on economic development. One of the things we're working on in conjunction with the Arizona Commerce Authority, the Sun Corridor, the county, our sector partnerships. I think we've done a good job of identifying where we have the opportunity to grow and bringing those businesses together, continuing our work to increase trade. I think we have identified ourselves as a logistics hub, and of course that takes infrastructure, that takes relationships with Mexico, but we've seen just recently with the home goods coming here, with the Target Distribution Center, with the Comcast acquisition, that we have those opportunities. We still need to work, and I think we've done a good job, but we still need to work to make city services that businesses rely on more efficient. You know, we've just had a real change in our planning development services department with Ernie Duarte leaving after so many years. We have a new city manager, Mike Ortega, who wants to put some focus there, and we're going to have to spend some time in that department working and getting a better result. And then we'll continue to work on our social needs in our community, whether it's literacy, high school graduation. Homelessness is going to be an issue around the country. We see it, and I talk to mayors around the country. I know people here appreciate
it's the worst in the country, but it probably isn't.
No, that's just it. It is one of the least problems in the country compared to what we're seeing in cities. But what that tells us is the problem as a whole is not going away. It's a macro problem that we get micro resources to work with, but so they'll be focused there. I can see all those as major issues.
Okay, Sarah, jump in.
Talking about homelessness, I know that you're have had a big push with veterans' homelessness. Is this something that will ever be fixed? And is it something that, how do you, it's so pervasive, how do we address it on a micro level, you know, since it's a macro problem, how do we do it on a local level?
Well, what we've done here in the Veterans Homelessness Project was a really good one because it gave us a lot of data and experience. And no, does the problem ever go away? No. And so when you say ending veterans homelessness, what we're really saying is functionally ending veterans homelessness. What we've learned over the last 2 years is that approximately 40 to 45 veterans a month fall out of homes in this community. And what we've done is created a system, because we know how many we're housing, where we can house 40 to 45 a month. And so essentially, functionally ending veterans' homelessness. We have a little bit of a backlog. We're down to about 300 that we want to house before the end of the year. And then we will declare victory. But in declaring that victory, we understand that this is something that goes on. The issue with regard to chronic homelessness is much tougher, because you're dealing with folks that are actively abusing either alcohol or drugs. You're dealing with folks that have mental illness across a scale. And you're dealing with a federal government that correctly notes housing first is the most efficient way to deal with things. But these are people for whom housing first may not work. And we're going to spend a lot of focus, both at the city, county level, looking for new solutions. And people are trying experiments all over the country. Some of them are working, some of them aren't. But until, as a country, we put more resources to things like mental health, education, support programs, this will be the symptom that we'll be dealing with.
When you talk about 40, you said 40 to 50 per month coming into the finding housing for homeless veterans.
Right.
Does that mean that we're consistently adding 40 to 50 residents per month, or are people moving out of the system and finding more stable housing on their own?
Yeah, no, it's the idea of finding more stable housing. We have units available. We have a lot of low-income housing or subsidized housing in the community. It is filled, but people move along and find their own, and so we're able to get people into at least some kind of housing. At first, it may be shelter, or it may be transitional housing, and then ultimately moving them to that housing situation.
One of the keys to getting this improved relationship with Mexico, and I know recently you had the Sonora, Southern Arizona mayors getting together, forming a partnership, but one of the pieces that really has to come together is air transportation in the corridor between Tucson, Guaymas, Tucson, Hermosillo.
Yeah, we've been working on it. We've had some things that we thought were going to happen. It looks like now that we are going to have a carrier that is prepared to do 2 to 3 flights a week, Tucson to Guaymas, direct, nonstop. We should know very soon. And the information I've been giving is they're planning on flying come January, and that would be great. Getting that Tucson to Guaymas flight, right now our numbers show us that that's the most flight in demand, because we have so many people who...
Mm-hmm. And then Hermosillo would be next.
And then Hermosillo's next. And once we can get Hermosillo, that opens up all of Mexico to us, because Hermosillo is a hub. And so once we get to Hermosillo, you can fly to Mexico City, you can fly to anywhere. And I will continue to make every effort I can, both on the American side and the Mexican side, to get those flights.
One thing under your watch, you'll be welcoming a new police chief very soon.
Yep.
How close are we on that decision?
We're pretty close. The folks are going to start interviewing. I'll have my dates wrong.
I know soon.
Soon. I know I've been invited to a meet and greet, but I think is within the next 2 weeks, all four of the candidates will be in town. We do have a citizens committee that was appointed by the city council to vet them.
October 29th is the citizens advisory committee public hearing.
Yeah, and
meeting.
And so as soon as they vetted, as soon as the council's had an opportunity to informally meet, we'll each give our input to the city manager. He will make a decision. And then, of course, that will come to council for approval.
Sarah.
You mentioned talking about the need for development services, business services, things like that. That's something that, frankly, we've been hearing about for years,
yep.
That it needs to get better, efficiencies, et cetera, et cetera. Why isn't it fixed yet?
So there's a couple things. I thought when I came into office, we identified some things we could do, like cross-training inspectors, like cutting back on inspection times, which we did. We cut them about in half, came within national standards, which we're still within. And I just think it's something that requires constant attention. I can tell you that when Ernie Duarte left, I had an exit interview with him. I just wanted, hey, Ernie, you know, if you could wave your magic wand. And he says that our software and hardware systems is a 1990 system that's prepared to break down. And if we lose that, we lose a lot. He gave me a price that is, he gave me a $3 million price. I haven't verified that. But we've started conversations with the home builders, with the commercial brokers and the like, and saying, look, if you want the best efficiency, we need to get this system. What are ways in which you can help us pay for that? And at the county, they actually had that dialogue, and fees were raised with the consent of the users because they understood what better services they were going to get. So that's one thing. The second really just is putting into place, again, reviewing the department, potentially doing some restructuring of the department, and putting into place some standard operating procedures that the community watches at the same time as the council watches. The real place where the city interplays with the business community is that department. And so putting that focus there, given what we know we have to do for the community, is going to be important.
All right, let's take a break. It's 12:15. It's the noon hour on Buckmaster. And of course, on Friday, we do our looking back at the 60 music. Today, we're going to hear from Mel Carter. He had that silky, smooth voice. Tom's got your, I think his big hit is going to be number one here on the show. Hold me, thrill me, kiss me, Mel Carter.
It's Bill's.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
If you're ready to landscape it, light it, floor it or store it, paint it, plant it, drill it or grill it, better get to the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association Fall Home and Garden Show, October 23rd, 24th, and 25th, with free TCC parking. Sponsored by Patio Pools and Spas, Kinetico, Mattress Firm, Tucson Electric Power, and Russet Heating and Air Conditioning. Discount admission coupons at SabaHomeShow.com. Saba's Fall Home and Garden Show. It's the best home show ever built.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Be my love.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, the wonderful sound of Mel Carter. After that first big hit, you don't really hear much about some of the other hits, but I kind of vaguely remember Be My Love there, Tom, so I think that was a pretty good number to pick. And by the way, folks, if there's any 60s music that you would like to hear, and maybe we haven't done it in a while, we'd like to hear from you. Sarah Garrett-Gasson, any suggestions on 60s music for me?
Well, the Five Stair Steps are one of my favorites out of Chicago. Mm-hmm. Child, I know that you've had them.
Yeah, but we've had the Buckinghams from Chicago.
Yeah, maybe Blues Magoos.
Yeah. I don't know if we've done the Bull Brummels.
Oh, that would be a good choice.
A group that was actually my high school in the North Shore of Chicago flew in the Beau Brummels from San Francisco. They just had that hit Last Laugh to be our high school graduation band in 1965.
Wow. The Standells, maybe?
Yeah, that was pretty exciting. Anyway, Mayor, we don't want to talk about 60s music here
watch. How about Paul Revere and the Raiders or Herman Hermits or Freddie and the Dreamers?
Herman's
Hermits.
Mrs. Brown. Yeah. You've got a lovely daughter.
Yeah. How are we doing with downtown and the hotel project? And there's been a lot of kind of ins and outs and ups and downs, and where are we?
Well, I think things are moving well. I mean, that's one that, you know, once you get that momentum going, Scott Steitler's hotel is breaking ground. It seems to be making progress. We are going to be seeing at the beginning of November the two Ronstadt Transit Center proposals, probably modified from their original look, is going to have its hearing before their Citizens Committee, and I anticipate seeing a decision made on that either December or January. We have been able to work with Rio Nuevo to assist with getting the Greyhound move, which will help Mr. Norville's project. there's, you know, with all the progress we've made and as good as it is, what I like to tell people is I don't think we're 50% of the way there yet. I know the projects we have going. We have the Gadsden project on the west side of town, and something's going to have to happen there very quickly, one way or the other. And so we're going to continue. I see some good projects that will continue our economic movement in the downtown area. You know, we need to now push that out into other parts of town. One of the, you know, you asked me one of the things I want to do over the next 4 years. I would, you know, one of the successes of downtown has to do with the fact that it's a central business district created by the state that gives us this real estate tax abatement for people who want to build. That's the only one we're entitled to. But the state legislature does have things called business incentive districts. We've created infill incentive districts. And I would like to take the combination of the two, find the proper places in each part of town, and create a district in each part of town where we can start to see a little central area for people on the east side, for people on the south mm-hmm. side, for people on the near
fill in
side.
Some of those empty lots.
Well, yeah. we'll have to, you know, it's going to take some work. It's going to take a lot of thought, but I think the community can come together on that.
Sarah.
I wanted to talk about SunTran and the streetcar and just the usability. The Star has reported on problems. Just seem frankly ridiculous that with the go card and how it's not working. Isn't that just sort of shooting ourselves in the foot if you can't even get that? You can't pay to ride, and then you can't. You just can't make it work. I mean, how is this even happening?
Yeah. The constituent services, which I'll call constituent services, the user services over at SunTran need to be improved. Part of it is putting in the technology. And, you know, from the SunTran people point of view, they'll tell you we have 40,000 riders and we have 20 complaints a week. And, you know, and that their view is, but from my point of view, 20 complaints a week is too many, and it's symptomatic that there's something else going on. And so we've got to put our focus there. The contract with TransDev is up next year. Obviously, when you have a 44-day strike, there is concern on both ends, quite frankly. And part of that could be on us. I would take responsibility to say we didn't see it coming. We didn't understand the rift between the union and the company. We fully understand it now. And we're going to have to ride both parties pretty hard. And we've told the union, don't come in the day before you're to go on strike and tell us you're going on strike. If you've got complaints, we need to know about them well in advance, just like we deal with the police and the communication workers and the AFSCME folks. And at the TransDev side, we've said, look, we appreciate this is not a lucrative contract. We appreciate that it's a difficult situation, but you've got to work with us to improve. You know, this whole idea that you're going to get your way out of this by increasing ridership, well, you're not going to do that if these systems aren't working.
Right. I mean, and 20 people might call, but just think how many people
didn't call.
Say a couple choice words and don't call.
Correct. Oh, yeah.
So what do you do? What can the council do about that specifically, since it affects you know, users and riders and people who rely on the transportation system?
And remember, one of the issues with regard to the whole transit system is we don't control it. It's a private company, so we can give direction, but ultimately it's a contractor, it's a vendor, not a vendor. Ultimately, what we've got to look at is a regional transit system, a regional transit authority. We have to, which is what every city and metropolitan area our size does, which would go then to an independent funding source with an independent board. You're not going to take away strike rights unless you're prepared to give up that federal money. And right now in this jurisdiction, that's about $15 million a year. But the less political you can make it and the more you can make it a administrative business with support from the governments, and preferably every government in the region, I think the better system you're going to have.
All right. Matthew has called us at 790-2040. Matthew, what is your bottom line question, please, as we're running out of time?
I just wanted to encourage, if you haven't talked about it, that I think the city has right now a moratorium until October 30th for any business that needs to pay its taxes, business taxes, penalty free. If the mayor wanted to talk about that, I think that's a very important thing. It's good for the city. It's good for business. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, no, thank you, Matthew. Thank you for reminding us. It's not that you don't pay your taxes, but you will get the not have to pay the penalties. So if you come in now,
the penalty will be waived.
Yeah. And that's a great, it's a good thing.
I just want to say that I really appreciate Matthew
because
he always has
good questions.
Excellent questions.
No, he's a great listener. Okay, we're going to have to wrap it up. Road-wise, we're doing better here?
Well, the city passed our $100 million bond issue. We're about 40% into it. We're ahead of budget. We're ahead of schedule. We have more money. We've been able to add more roads. There are still so much work that has to be done. I'm not going to comment on the bond issue as a whole, but the road bond issue is something that, first of all, for the city means an additional $66 million. That's about three more years onto the five we've already got. And ultimately, I think this community has finally realized that we're going to have to take care of our own roads, and that that's something that's going to have to go on perpetually, because these roads are good for 20 years. By the time you're done doing all the roads, you're back to the first road. And what I have learned through our road bond project is that a smooth road makes all the difference in how you view your community.
That is so true. And what about cleanup and the weeds? There was a big thing going on. We talked about it about a year ago. It's still going on?
Yeah, no, we've...
Where the crews are out there.
Yeah. In this year's budget, we put more money to that. Yeah. But again, it's going to be a question of this community looking at... I will tell you, we're at a 2-cent sales tax. I thought we were high. I've looked at the rest of the state. We aren't. Marana's gone to 2.5 cents. Prescott's gone to 2.5 cents. Flagstaff's gone to 2.5 cents. Oro Valley went to 2.5 cents. That's going to be the next big community conversation. If we want to upgrade our metropolitan services, we're going to have to find a way to pay for it.
Okay, and on that note, we'll let you go. Mayor Rothschild, thank you very much for being with us.
All right, appreciate it.
Sarah will stick around, and Linda Valdez joins us from the Arizona Republic. Linda will be coming into the studio momentarily. Until then, we take a break. We'll hear from Mel Carter, have our mid-session break, hearing from the fine people who support Buckmaster at noon.
And love me, love is all we need, so darling, press me to your heart, and love me, love me.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here, aren't you?
Bruce Beek.
You're...
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Don Pooley.
Hey there.
John Kaiser.
Great to see you.
Dave Barry.
Thanks for coming.
Diana Cannon.
Hey, I'm really glad you're here.
Brenda Viner.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Fina.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're...
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
I know that face.
Hey, it's Brian Jeffries.
Aren't you?
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, this is great. My neighbor's here.
Dane Wall.
You made it.
Bob Logan.
Can I get you anything?
David Sluts.
I thought I just saw you.
Casey Palipchak.
This is a blast.
Bob Schaff.
Hey, you're...
Burt Williams.
I'm speechless.
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, Ken, look who's here.
Mike Truba.
I know Mike, Executive VP, Commerce Bank of Arizona. Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party, too. We're now offering flowers, decor, and so much more. Check out our new business, Flower Design and Decor Company, 3619 East Speedway, just west of Alvernon, or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Mel Carter from the 1960s, our 60s bump music on the Buckmaster Show during the noon hour on a gorgeous day here in Southern Arizona. This is the kind of October weather I've been waiting for, and we finally got it. Linda Valdez joins us from the Arizona Republic. Linda, editorial writer, columnist, Tucson resident, as she pointed out to the mayor as he was exiting the studio. Actually, since 1964, my goodness, you beat me by a year. I came out here as a scared 17-year-old kid from Chicago to go to the U of A in 65, so you beat me out here by a year.
I beat you by a year, but there were the 2 years I was living in Phoenix, so that we can count it a wash.
Okay.
We got here at the same time.
All right. Good to see you. And
good to be here.
Because when people say Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic, Sarah, they say, oh, you came down from Phoenix.
Yes. No, and she's very dedicated.
Yes,
but she lives here. She
lives here. She is our Tucson voice at the state's largest paper. Linda, the lead editorial today, which you wrote, talks about Doug Ducey and the education plans. You almost need a scorecard out there to figure out what's going on. What was the bottom line of the Republic about Mr. Ducey and the future on funding education?
Well, the governor, as you mentioned, there are four education plans out there. The governor's is one of them. He introduced it in the summer, and his plan was basically to take more money out of the state land trust for a period of 10 years. And there, then there is the there's a Republican leadership plan, there's a Democratic plan, and the Superintendent of Public Instruction, Diane Douglas, has a plan. What the governor did was signal a willingness to look at other plans and maybe revise his plan a little bit, openness to that. One of the problems is that after that 10 years, there's a big cliff. Mm-hmm. And he's gonna take a look at that. He said that will be addressed, and also he still seems quite committed to using the state trust. But the question now may be take a little less and maybe look at some other sources. There is a budget surplus and there's a rainy day fund. So they're not committing to that, but those are certainly other areas. He's also hoping to settle the lawsuit and get all of this ready for a special session before the end of the year, if that would be possible.
Well, the good news, Sarah, and Linda, about all these plans is that I can't remember a time that we talked about education like this in a non-legislative session.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, normally we wait until after the legislative session begins in January, and then we in the media really get involved and the public gets involved because usually there's talk of budget cuts.
Right.
But this time we're talking about education plans and hopefully being proactive before the lawmakers go to work.
Well, I think part of that is because last session, education was such a huge issue, and I think a lot of the constituents, I mean, people went and talked at the Capitol, they protested, they were out in force, parents and students and teachers, and they were basically shut out. And so I think that part of the energy is the carryover from that. And I think it's good. I think the more people make it a continual priority and make their lawmakers understand that this is not one of those issues that's going to go away is good. And I think I agree. It's at least we have something to talk about that's mm-hmm. not being drowned out by all the other millions of things that the legislature talks about during the session.
And we had Diane Douglas on the show, Linda, on Tuesday, and she signaled that she's open to talk about all the plans, specifically, I think the Democratic plan, oddly enough, Diane Douglas being a Republican, the Democratic plan seems to fit the most with what she is envisioning.
It does. I think it's closer. She wants to put money in now, and she's not looking at the trust, and she's not looking at First Things First as a funding source, which the Republican leadership is looking at. I'm not sure that her plan is going anywhere because she's alienated so many people from the governor on down in the Republican leadership.
The Board of Education.
Yes, the Board of Education.
Yeah.
She's in court with them. And I'm not sure that the Democrats are going to be a force in this. The Republic called for all voices to be heard and listened to, but that hasn't happened in past years. The one really significant thing I think about this, though, is we have the governor and we had GOP leadership and the other two plans as well, all saying we need more money in education, and that's significant.
Well, I think a lot of people wonder, Sarah, why can't we just settle the lawsuit that has been out there and just and use that as a starting point and see what we've got after that?
Well, that it would happen, because it's something that it is sort of an albatross out there. And the question is, why won't the legislature settle it? Why
and
won't
how much
they...
is at stake, ladies? Maybe you can refresh my memory with that lawsuit.
Well, the judge said there was like $330 million a year. The legislature put in $74 million last year. And there's another billion plus in arrears if they pay what was owed in the past. The districts have offered to waive that if the state will just start paying them the $300 million a year going forward. But the Republican leadership, they're challenging that figure. They don't believe that much is owed, because in past years, they said they funded more than inflation. So they want credit for that.
And I just want to point out that when we're talking about increased spending for education, we're talking about going from dead last pretty much in the country to maybe a little bit more. It's not like we're still have a gap to make up to get to even where we were. This is just backfill. It's not on top of what years, several, you know, within the past 10 years where we were.
And we have teachers now, the survey that showed teachers in Tucson, Linda and Sarah, are paid $9,000 on average less than teachers in Phoenix. So, and even the teachers in Phoenix are making less than most of the rest of the teachers in the United States.
Well, in rural areas, it's even worse. This is a major problem for Arizona. If teachers, qualified teachers, are leaving the profession, and it certainly is not a pay that you can use to raise a family. It's almost an auxiliary income, and that, I think, is totally unacceptable. They are professionals. They should be reimbursed as professionals.
Go ahead.
Well, Sarah. I wanted to point out, you said on average, it's actually the median salary.
Thank you for pointing that out.
It's the extent of my math knowledge.
Dan has called us, and he has a comment about education funding. Go ahead, Dan.
This came up because one of my customers last night told me that he's losing his mining job here in town, and we were just discussing if we're going to put more money into education, where is the state going to cut? Because we only have so much money going into the state, and we can't borrow money like the federal government.
Okay, thank you, Dan. It's a good question. Where is that money going to come from?
Well, we have a budget surplus now, and there is money in the rainy day fund. Together, that's about $700 million there. But there's also, you need to create a dedicated funding source for education. There's been decades since the Fife Symington years of cutting taxes in Arizona. It hasn't produced the huge economic boom that was promised. Maybe if we want to have quality education, we're going to have to pay for it.
Hear, hear. I think that's absolutely true. It's a matter of priority. I mean, when you have to cut, and you make decisions, but then you also have to, I think, have an obligation to repair the damage that was done when you have a surplus, which is what we have now.
I want to point out, Sarah, the Star, your endorsements are up on your website.
Yes.
So folks can check that out. You did, on the city council races, you went with two of the three incumbents, mm-hmm. Rahina Romero, Paul Cunningham, and then you went with Margaret Burkholder.
Yes.
In Ward number 4. You went a vote on the bonds, straight bonds.
Yes
on bonds. The red light endorsement kind of goes, I think that the Star actually... I'm not quite sure how what the endorsement was on red light, on the ban on that. Sorry to put you on the spot on that.
No, it's I can talk about for sure the city council pay. We for sure were against that. The mayor has come out against that too. I think part of the issue with the red lights is that we supported the. I want to make sure I get this right because voting for the proposition would eliminate the red lights.
It would put a ban on the red light
cameras.
So
said no to that.
Yes.
But with with explanations of saying we need
of what could be done
what
to
could
fix
be done
it.
Like with
there
the
were
intersections.
Three or four recommendations.
Yeah.
So you're correct. So a yes vote would indicate banning the red
light. Yes, it's one of those tricky
sort
of, you're voting yes, but you're saying no.
Yeah. Linda, about the plan to give independents equal voice on redistricting, should independents have a voice in this?
Absolutely. They're the largest single group of registered voters. People are leaving both parties, Democrats more than Republicans, mm-hmm. and they're registering as independent. And they are basically shut out of a two-party system that is... It's an anachronism. We are no longer a two-party system. We are a two-party system with a whole lot of independents, more than either Republicans or Democrats. So the proposal, and this is a ballot proposition, and they need something like 225,000 signatures to get mm-hmm. on the ballot, And it would increase the size of the redistricting commission to 9 members, and there would be 3 each, 3 Democrats, 3 Republicans, and 3 independents. Right now, it's a 5-member commission, and there are 2 Democrats, 2 Republicans, and 1 independent. And
so I think it would make sense then to have this proportion, at least fairly proportional, because the independents are what, more than a third now of the the electorate.
Of course, the odd thing about it is that independents are not a monolithic group. There are a lot of they represent a lot of different viewpoints. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, that viewpoint should have a say. They should not be disenfranchised, and they currently are.
And that's something that would not be on is not on the ballot this election. So you're not going to see that in November when you go to the polls or on your early ballot right now. That's something that we're going to see unfold over the next year or so. And I agree. It should not be just a two-party system. I think having 3-3-3 would require. It would require some sort of compromise, some sort of give and take on the committee, and I think that's better than having the lawmakers do it.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. It was interesting. The mayor was talking about roads and what still needs to be done, and obviously, ladies, a lot still needs to be done. That report from the Pima Association of Governments was very. Very revealing that it would take actually to fix everything to get it up to standard $3.1 billion. So
give everybody a shovel, I think, and an asphalt.
We better get out there and start doing some road patching. Linda Valdez, thank you. We'll look for your work in the Arizona Republic. Your column appears on certain days?
Column appears every other Sunday
in print,
but my blog is there almost every day.
And how do they get to that?
You can go to valdez.azcentral.com.
Okay. And we will look for Sarah's work in the Arizona Daily Star. Her column appears usually on Thursdays. All right. Ladies, have a great weekend.
Thank you.
You too.
12:50 on the Buckmaster Show. Take it away, Tom. More of Mel Carter from the best of Mel Carter.
I never wanted to my life has one desire. A simple little band of gold to prove that you are mine.
Honey, what are you doing?
I'm going over the checklist for our holiday party at Reed Park Zoo.
Santa, music, falling snow, twinkling lights, and food are already going to be there. Reed Park Zoo takes care of everything.
I didn't realize it would be so easy.
Honey, all you have to do is call and book the party.
Whether you're hosting a formal wedding or a casual barbecue, the Reed Park Zoo provides a fun environment for an unforgettable event. For more information about booking your next get-together, visit reedparkzoo.org.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Discipline and drive aren't on the shelf at the corner store. They're a part of who you are and the business you're building. We get it. That's why Cox Business and Inc. magazine invite you to attend Get Started Tucson. Join us for this free one-day live event Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Tucson. This is your chance to network with other innovators and entrepreneurs, to learn from experts on how to secure funding, and to watch contest finalists pitch their big idea for a prize package worth thousands. Visit coxblue.com/getstartedtucson to reserve your spot. It's free to attend with complimentary drinks and hors d'oeuvres. Don't miss Get Started Tucson, presented by Cox Business and Inc. magazine. It's Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Tucson. RSVP today at coxblue.com/getstartedtucson.
All right, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist and the president and CEO of the highly regarded Tucson-based Russell Public Communications, an award-winning communications outfit, is our host for Weekend Watch. We're always delighted to welcome Matt, and it is sponsored by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3 hours east of Tucson makes a great weekend road trip, especially this time of year. You can't beat it over there. The climate is perfect. And great places to stay like Spirit Canyon Lodge and Gila Hot Springs Ranch. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Hey, Bill, I'm doing great. I'm ready for the old Buckmaster Bear Down this weekend, I'll tell you what.
Homecoming is here, and we can get things going with a little party on the patio.
Absolutely. Homecoming festivities are about to commence, and Playground Bar and Lounge downtown, they're going to be kicking it off with a party on the patio tonight from 6 to 8. Great specials on beer and margaritas and one of my favorite cocktails in town, the El Guapo, which is only $5 tonight. Now, they're also going to be serving up some spicy fried chicken sliders on buttermilk biscuits for only $6. And the Surf Sonics are going to be performing live. It's a party on the patio at Playground tonight at 6 p.m.
And what was that favorite drink again?
The El Guapo with tequila, lime juice, Aperol, and a mango chili rim.
Love it. Yeah, you'll feel no pain after that one. Some of the best fish in town over at the Kingfisher.
Yeah, you know, and it's not homecoming weekend without the one event designed especially for Tucson's Brotherhood of the Bivalve. It's the 6th annual Oyster Fest at Kingfisher. Starts tomorrow morning at 10, where more than 15 varieties of oysters are going to be freshly shucked by seasoned professionals under a large tent that will take over the parking lot. Now, most selections are only a couple of bucks a piece, and you can mix and match however you'd like to experience that full range of flavors. Now, Bill, I'm typically in for at least 24 myself, so join me at the Kingfisher Oyster Fest tomorrow morning from 10 to 2.
Make sure you bring that oyster bib with you to the. it wouldn't be homecoming for a lot of people unless they were over at Ben's.
Right on. You know, I say there's a number of new restaurants that have popped up all over town, but for a true homecoming experience, I say go with a classic for a pregame lunch. and that means Gentle Ben's on University right near Park. Now, this iconic bar and grill features some of the best craft brew around and boasts a menu that goes well beyond typical bar fare. They say there's 48 ways to build a burger at Gentle Ben. I think my last one was number 29. I think a delicious pregame awaits you at Gentle Ben's tomorrow. It's going to be a blast.
Wow, what a great weekend. Great food, great weather, a ball game. Who could ask for more? And how about the column in Inside Tucson Business? I'll ask for more.
Absolutely. You know it's the fall season when there's an uptick in Spetzel sightings across town. Why do these little egg noodles start trending the moment the mercury drops below 80? You can read the entire story in this week's edition of Inside Tucson.
Good weekend to you, Matt Russell.
Cheers. Bear down.
Thanks. The Bill Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. On behalf of the team, all of my friends here at KVOI, including station owners Doug and Mary Martin, our fine programming director Ray Allen, production ace Jerry Cross, our producers Ed Alexander and Tom Fairbanks, my executive assistant Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful, safe, and sound weekend. Back with you on Monday at noon.